favorite simon in the entire Sefer Hasidim.
What is it about?
It's about collectors. Collectors who come to shul. Rabbi Sai, Reish Nun Zayin. Reish Nun Zayin, Simon Shin Yud Zayin. Simon Shin Yud Zayin. Rabbi Sai, Shin Yud Zayin. 317 on page Reish Nun Zayin. Okay, we'll try to go quickly. Talk about, there's a lot of chokhma here, a lot of controversy here. Chokhma and controversy. Two people, mutually exclusive. Page Reish Nun Zayin Halacha Shin Yud Zayin. Two people come to shul, they want tzedakah, and there are limited funds. Adam Tzadik Ba Vitzarch Litzdaka Shetitei Lo. Rabbi Yisrael, please. A person comes to shul, he's a tzadik, this is a good person. This is the real deal. Okay, the real deal comes to shul, he's destitute, he needs a handout. And there's another person who walks into shul, and he's a rasha. He's a glutton, he's a drunkard, and he also wants money. And you know, there are no social services over here. Someone is there's limited funds, and whoever doesn't get the money is gonna really have grace at tzars. Who do you give the money to? You give the money to the good person, the tzaddik, or do you give the money to the bad person? Now, there's a catch here. The catch is that if you don't give the rasha money, then he's gonna go off the derech. Let's put it like that. He's gonna go. How do you know? Whatever, from circumstances. No, that's a different story. That's how he's going to discuss that. He's going to discuss even more. He discusses that in a second. He actually mentions that idea. Let's see. Adam tzadik ba vitzarech, again, shin yud zayin. Adam tzadik ba vitzarech litztaka shetitei loy, period. And there's another person. The im rasha, a wicked man, who zoylel v'soyvei, eats a lot of meat, drinks a lot of wine. Oy made gamhu lekabel. The ainu yochalos says elul yachin mehem. You only have enough money to give to one of these two people. The inei harasha. Now, you know, okay, this is theoretical. Rabbi Yisrael, please. Let me say. Okay. Rabbi Yisrael, and it's theoretical, okay? Because today I know you'll tell me there's no such thing today. You're right. So let's just look at it in the most theoretical, abstract form, and then in every situation you have in life, you have to extrapolate what you would say in this case. But let's just talk theoretical case now, because it's almost impossible to recreate this case. Vine, Horosha, your assessment is, im lo titen lo yishtamed o yase avero, but v'lo ritzicha. The Russia, if you don't give him the money, then he's basically on the edge. He's gonna go out there and do terrible things. Okay, he's gonna go, you know, like yeshivist boys, the boys that are, you know, who need to get into a yeshiva. This, your assessment is that if you don't take this kid and you don't give him what he needs, he's gonna basically go off the derech. Whatever, I'm just telling you abstract. Don't hold me down to my words. Abstract concepts, but he's not gonna hurt anyone. He's not going to go, not going to be violent. No one's going to get hurt, but he's going to be a lost soul. He's going to be a lost soul, but he's not going to hurt anyone. No one's going to get hurt. So it says here, controversial, right? Tein latzadik. A good, honest, a real deal. He needs the money, and a person that's not a good person, an evil person, needs the money. And he's getting worse. He adds that element, that factor. He's getting worse and worse and worse. Maybe you should step on the brakes by giving a little help, even though he doesn't deserve it. He's a wicked person. So he says, wicked Zilvasove. But, you know, he's already on the brink of going over the cliff. But on the other, if you give him, the tzaddik is going to suffer bezyonos and is destitute, not on any fault of his own. I told you, you can't generalize. Every single situation in life, we all know, has unique circumstances. You can't generalize. He writes here that the tzaddik comes first, and let the rasha lech la'azazel. Okay? Let the rasha yelech la'gehenem. I read yesterday an Amazon driver in the news. Like, I don't know the details. An Amazon driver was robbed by an immigrant, an illegal immigrant. It's now illegal to call them an illegal immigrant, you know. It's illegal. You're not allowed to say that. You're not allowed to call them. It's an insult to call them. You call them a newcomer. A newcomer or a temporary or a non-citizen. Okay? And this fellow, it's in the news, all over the news, this illegal immigrant assaulted, attacked an Amazon Prime driver to rob him and rob his truck. And the Amazon driver fought back, and the police came. And who do you think they arrested?
The Amazon driver.
Of course, they arrested the Amazon driver. So when you don't have Torah, that's what happens. The Sefer Chassidim says, you have a tzaddik, you have a rasha. The tzaddik is not going off the derech. If you don't give money to the tzaddik, nothing's going to happen. He's just going to, be poor. The poor get poorer. And he have a rasha. The rasha doesn't deserve one penny. The rasha, is unfortunate. And if you don't give him the money, he's going to be Mechal Shabbos. He's already holding by Mechal Shabbos. So have rachmanis on the rasha. You shouldn't be Mechal Shabbos. And no, the tzaddik, let the tzaddik suffer. You'll make up all these excuses because the tzaddik, it's his fault. He put himself in this matzav. The Sefer Chassidim says, don't give me this nonsense. Tzaddik, rasha, you give the money to the tzaddik. The rasha, lech lazazel. Your problem. You don't try to solve the world's problems. He says it very clearly. At a certain place I go to, there's a person who's very, very sad. Very, very sad what his matzav is. And he disturbs everyone. And basically, because he disturbs everyone, so everyone just runs away. So why don't they go and just tell this person, get out of here. Don't come here. We don't want you to come here. No, Rachmanis, it's not his fault, this. But he disturbs everyone. And everyone suffers. No. So everyone just, I say to myself, this is like crazy. Everyone, this one person, it's taka true. It's a Rachmanis. There's no solution. But that gives him the right to go and make everyone's life miserable. And this goes on all over the world, all over in the Jewish world and the non-Jewish world. Here's the same case. You have a few dollars, one person's going to have what to eat, and one person's going to be starving on the street and suffering. Who do you give the money to? I'll give it to the Rasha, because the Rasha, if you're not going to give him the money, he's going to go for these Mechal Shabbos. You don't want to lose a Neshama Achas B'Yisrael. The Sefer Chassidim here very clearly says, and again, you can't generalize. You can never generalize. Every situation is different. But here's a starting point of a person who has a reputation having a lot of chokhmah, das, understands this world, and he says, you give the money to the poor, good person, and the person who is a Rasha, you don't give him a penny, you don't have what to give him. Oh, but we know what's going to happen. He's going to go off, he's going to Mechal Shabbos. That's not my problem. You have to do now what is correct, what is Yashar, and what is Yashar is to give the tzaddik the few dollars that are available, public funds, to support him. That's what it says. It sounds so simple, but yeah, look around
it's
in this
so
world.
It's not so simple the way you say it either, because it says, tzaddik v'tzorich, which means that he really is at the... He doesn't have a penny to his name.
It's abstract. There's abstractions here, and you, like I told you 100 times, you cannot generalize. You can't generalize.
Means he doesn't have $200.
All right, no, you may, you're going into 21st century with social services.
No. if you have, let's say, a dollar, and you want to give 50-50, what's wrong with it? But if a guy comes in and he says, I he lost his job, he's going to be evicted, and he needs the money. So you have to support him, that's all.
But if you don't give to the other guy, enough said, let's go further.
The other guy, we're not talking about what his need is.
We read the words.
Let me see if I can clarify and build upon what he's saying. This is what I want to say. Why is the Russia Zoylel Vesovich? For most Daphne Zogan, Zoylel Vesovich.
This is not a Gemara. Don't make such diukim in the words.
Because maybe this Russia, if you give him the money, he will go and buy drugs or buy cigarettes.
That's right.
So I think that's an equivalent.
Okay.
So that may be one of the factors as to why maybe we don't give him the Russia, because he's a Dovid Sovay. He's going to
use the money. Okay, you can't be didactic in this like it's a Gemara, but maybe, yeah, okay. We read the words.
Why are you putting those two words?
All right, we read the words. There's something over here to be said, to be dissected. It's a springboard for a lot of discussion in these matters, which are maisim, mamish, maisim, b'chol yoyim, in every different dimension. There's limited resources available in the world, in the Jewish world, or the non-Jewish world, and everyone wants it. What do you do? What are the circumstances? Let's go further. Now.
He's missing the point. The point is you give to the Tzaddik, not to the Ratzah.
That's the main point. The main point is when everything is equal, you give the Tzaddik, it sounds so simple, but when you turn on the news, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable when you turn on what goes on in this world. Next. I read others, so there are people that are flood victims, and they put up these people. They're American citizens, hardworking people whose homes were flooded due to some storm, and they were put up in this some center, and they told them, now you all have to get out of here. We don't care where you go. We have to make room for illegal immigrants who are going to be housed here. And all you guys who are American citizens who pay taxes, who are born here, you got to leave, go into the street. We couldn't care less because the illegal aliens have come in over here and they are much more important. Even though they come from Venezuela, they come from Crunt, they're the prison population of the world, they have Kadima. Does this make any sense?
They're voting Democrat, of course it makes sense.
Avol, in Baal Lassoy, Rabbi Sai, let's go forward, right, Rabbi Sai. Avol, in Baal Lassoy, Sritzicha. Okay, this is also controversial. What he says. Let's say if you're not going to give the money to the Rasha, he is prone to become a murderer and take someone else's life.
That's the illegal immigrants.
And Ritzicha, don't stop at the border. You just tell him, don't come here. Go somewhere else. Kill someone else. There are circumstances that you do give the Rasha, because if you're not going to give him money, he's going to go out and kill people. So therefore, better we should give him and he should not go kill someone. But what do you mean? Killing is only a grama. It's not happening today. It'll take time. I'm assuming over here, he's not going to go kill someone today, this moment. He doesn't have a victim in mind. It means he'll go down a path of life where he's going to, in a very short term, kill someone. But it's not immediate. No, it's kedai to take into consideration the near future. Not the immediate future, but the near future, that's what it seems. And you'll tell me, oh, now this is a novel interpretation of the pasuk.
But he's saying the reason why you're giving him is not because you need to give him. It's to
save someone.
To save somebody else.
Right. So you make a calculation of the future.
You're saving
a good person, even though it's not immediately in front of us, this person, but down the line. And then you'll say to me, but this is an injustice. So he interprets this pasuk in a very novel way. What he says over here is unbelievable. He says, that's this world. In this world, it's not fair. And a lot of things in this world are not fair, and they have to be done in order to save people who would otherwise suffer even greater losses. Vizehu, what it means in the pasuk, Rav Oichal Nir Roshim. Now, Roshim here means poor people. There is money here that is designated for poor people. The near means a field, like a near means like a plowed field, is an expression of the poor. And there are people who are in the category of a term called near Roshim. And there is money allocated for them. And you know who gets the money? The wrong people. And you know who a lot of times, Rav means there is an abundance of injustice in this world. There is an abundance of people who are not entitled, not deserving to get the money of the poor. Money was allocated for the poor, and Mishagoyim, ineligible. Wait, let's read the words over here. Why? Let me just read the pasuk. Wait, I'm reading what it says over here on the parish of the Sodom, explaining the pasuk. Read a little backwards. There's a term in the middle called Nir Roshim, the plowed field of the poor people, which is an expression to refer to destitute people. Money is allocated for them, and the money does not go to them. The money goes to the wrong people. It goes to Rishoyim. It goes to Mishagoyim. It goes to drug addicts. And not a one or two, a lot. Rav, an abundance of injustice occurs, Oichel, which means the money is consumed and destroyed. And that was really meant to go to the near Roshim of the plowed field of the poor people. You know why? For the greater good. The greater good is so that, because if you don't give these Mishagoyim, get him off the streets and put him up in the hotels, you know what's going to happen? Then there are tzaddikim that are going to be murdered. Because this is how he novelly interprets this pasuk, which is not the pasuk shat, because v'yesh nispeh b'loy mishpat. Because if you don't take the mishagoyim off the streets and put them up in five-star hotels, they'll wander the streets, they'll murder people, and there'll be people that will die, nispeh means to die, b'loy mishpat, for no crime committed. There'll be victims of them.
He's only talking about if someone will do a fatal violence. Stam not. It reminds me, 50 years ago, I was walking home in Israel at night, late about the Shabbos, and a guy came over to me and says, give me your money. And I stopped, and I gave him some money, and I talked to him. And why was I talking to him? Because while I was talking to him, other people were walking by, and he wasn't bothering them. So while I gave him, 20, 30 cents or whatever, I was able to sell to other people from being
tzaddik. Okay, so you're a tzaddik, but you put your life in sakana.
It has nothing to do if the guy just wants money for whatever it is, but if he's not going to kill somebody, forget about it.
A rabbi told me the following story. He says there was a guy that came to shul, very often to shul, and said, tzedakah, tzedakah. And no one, okay, Rabbi Sai, Dr. Dov, it's hard for me to compete. A guy came to shul, true story, a guy came to shul every day, tzedakah, we don't know, it's Jewish. He didn't really bother anyone. He just was an annoyance. He didn't really bother anyone, and he hung out in the shul a little bit more than he was welcome. And the question was, what to do with him? What to do with him? Should they basically make it very clear that you are not welcome, do not ever dare step into this shul? On the other hand, he never did anything that was a crime. He didn't steal from anyone, he didn't assault anyone, he didn't touch anyone, but there's just something disturbing about him. And a shul is a public place, and wherever he goes, so someone gives him a dollar, not a dollar. So the rabbi did not really know what to do. People complain, other people says, ignore him, whatever. The rabbi did not. So he went and he sought out professional advice. He went to a professional. I don't know who the professional was. He told me who it was. And the person, he sat and he told him the whole story. He said to him, throw him out. Don't let this guy ever walk into the shul. And I'm telling you, a yesoid, a meshugana is b'cheskas sakonis nefashis, is a sakana. A person that you has this, that there's something wrong,
unstable,
is a sakana to the public. And you have a duty as a rabbi, to your duty, you're the rabbi, you're responsible. Get rid, but he never did a crime. Doesn't matter. A person that you know what I'm doing, you have to. Okay, so we threw him out. He did, with a very heavy heart, he threw him out. About 2 years later, he got word that this guy, one day, he was living in an apartment in the basement with other mishugah, whatever. One day he gets up in the morning, he takes out a knife, and he stabs to death his roommate. Just out of the blue. Takes a knife, stabs him to death. So the rabbi, he learned the lesson. That's right. A person that's not normal, that's not stable, is a danger. Is a danger? Oh, but he didn't do anything. What do? He just sits, he's quiet. You know, is he Jewish, not Jewish? You know, a person that's not stable, in your own private house, do whatever you want. But if you are responsible for the public safety, you're a rabbi of a shul, it's a public place, children come and go, people come and go, that is the world we live in, it is your duty to get rid of him. You don't have rachmanis. And look what it says over here. Whoever is responsible is responsible. It's a dangerous world, and you don't. When it comes to public safety, your own safety, do whatever you want. Public safety.
So they didn't want to do anything. So I went down and I told them, if you don't call the cop out, I'm going to call them.
If someone says they're going to kill you...
He found out he had a long sheet that he was going from center to center.
If someone says they're going to kill you, you take them seriously. Okay, if Iran says they're going to nuke us, you take them seriously. Netanyahu's legacy is on the line. His legacy is, this is his yesoid. This is his yesoid, uniquely to him. Rabbi Yisai, his yesoid is, if Iran says they're going to nuke us, they're going to nuke us. And America, no, they'll never do it. They're just joking. Meshata anibach. Netanyahu says, you don't understand the Middle East. If Iran says they're going to do it, they're going to do it. And October 7th is the proof. And if he doesn't do something about Iran, in my worthless opinion, it just goes to show that he also doesn't believe it. He's also... you see, everyone will tell you that October 7th was paid for and sponsored by Iran. Okay? They'll do it. They'll get the...
Where America said everyone was pushing America, let's put sanctions on Iran just this week, and America says no, we don't want to push them to do something.
All right, this is he writes over this is a very fascinating. Okay, maybe one more paragraph. Let's go quick. One more paragraph. Rabbi Yisai, Shein Yud Ches, at least one paragraph. Echor Hayoymer Tnuli Vani Ani, VaHayoymer Olav Sheyesh Loi VeOs Atzmai Choyle. Now this is a very scary thing. A person should never pretend to be who you are not. Very dangerous concept. Echad ha'yo oimer tenu, give me money, v'ani ani, I'm poor. V'ho'yo oimer lov sheyesho, this guy's a phony. This guy is a multimillionaire, it's a sickness. He wants money. Maybe some people tell you to give him the dollar because it's part of his therapy. To give him a dollar. I don't believe in that. Okay, some people, they have plenty of money, but it's an amount of illness. Yeah. Okay, but that's not the point. Now here, how about this? This is a covoid sickness. Could you ever imagine something like this? This I've never seen. A person, he's so desperate. Rabbi said this could happen. People crave attention. Okay, Rabbi said, people, you have to appreciate people need covoid. The same way you need air, water, food, a person needs a shtickle covet. That's how it is. The old var from Rav Chutner. How long can you live without a house? How long could you survive in the street? A long time. How long could you live without clothing? A little less. Eventually you'll get a cold and get sick and die. How long can you survive without solid foods? A little less. How long can you survive in this world without liquids, water? How long can you survive in this world without oxygen? About 4 minutes? 8 minutes? Whatever it is. How long can you survive in this world without kavod? Not even a second.
Suicide.
Not even 1 second. And it's not a joke. It's not a joke. It's mamish. It's a serious vart. Every person has a mashu of self-esteem. Even the lowest of the low, usually the lowest of the low, they have the most self-esteem. But every person has a shtickle covet. It's a pasuk. Poseach es yodecho maspia l'chol chai rotzayin. A person's desire to live is his covet. And the person has mamish zero self-esteem, his heart stops beating. That's how it goes. People, unfortunately, we live in a very difficult world, and some people, they have, no one gives them attention. No one will say good morning to them. No one will say, I know a woman. She really shook me up. We were by a wedding, and the waiter came, and she said to the waiter, What's your name? You know, a Mexican, or probably an illegal immigrant. What's your name? And like, I asked her, why'd you do that? She says, he deserves a little self-esteem also. He's working like a dog here for us. He looks like a bunch of shagayim over here. We're all dressed up here and eating away. He comes from a third world country. They don't have what to eat. Every penny he makes, he sends back to his family. You deny him his human dignity. And she asked the waiter, what's your name? And like, you know, it made a reshamani. And people, unfortunately, that's the way it is. That's the reality. A guy comes to shul, you know what he wants? He doesn't want money. He wants they should make a Misha Berach. So I say, a Misha Berach, you know, costs money. So make for me a Misha Berach that I'm a choyle. I'm a choyle. I have a disease. So that you'll do for free. So that Misha Berach, I was saying, Yivorich V'yapa, it's a choyle, ploini ben ploini. Self-esteem, right? Self-esteem. So people, that's how far I can go. So a person should not do that. Obviously, why is he doing it? He needs that self-esteem. But to do that, you're playing with fire. Because if you make believe, a person makes believe that he's not well, it's mo'oyer, this is a Kabbalistic concept, a kitroig upon him in Shamayim, and kintaka, it can make him, he can get that disease. Yes, that's what he says over here. Yes, exactly. He quotes that Gemara over here. That applies. And this is a very scary thing. Like, they talk about plays. I read this. This is a very scary. A lot of yeshivas have plays. And let's say a Purim play. Someone's got to be Haman. It's not good. So some people, it has an effect on the person. You take a part in a play. If you're going to be Mordechai, good. You want to be... It's a disturbing thing when men dress up like we could take a woman's part.
I was humming in the fifth grade. I didn't
It's a very, this is, you know, it's a very disturbing thing. Some people couldn't care less. They just laugh it off. Different strokes for different folks. Some people take it seriously. Everyone knows their children. They go on Shabbos. I'm the Shabbos tati. I'm the Shabbos mommy. They have it Friday in every single yeshiva. They dress them up, you know, they come with the sheitel, they give the kid the sheitel and this and that. On the Shabbos, they teach them about Shabbos, Shabbos Mami, Shabbos Tati, and you this. Some people don't like it. They just don't like playing games like this. A lot of the yeshivas, they have plays, especially the girls' schools, they have a very lot of plays. They get dressed up as boys, I mean, men, and villains. There are villains. And is this something which you can that has effect in the physical world, you know, psychology? If you know you have this big part, it becomes your identity, or is it over here? He doesn't seem to say that. He seems over here to say that it might be something that we have no a Kabbalistic thing, that if a person brings upon himself a certain thing in Shemayim. You know, we don't know how these things work. We're not willing to play games.
He's trying to sell himself. Versus in a play, everybody knows.
Okay, we're using this to extrapolate in a Hanami. But there is something here to be said about this. Many people will just laugh you off, and adrabba, that's the rule. The rule is if you're not makbid, the forces of evil are not makbid either. When you start thinking about this too many times, then it can have an effect on you.
If you want to go to an amusement park and make believe that you're on the handicap line and you're not, that's
all these type of things. All of these type of things. Everyone always talks about Christopher Reeve. Okay? Millions and millions, hundreds of millions of people looked at him as Superman. Myself included. Okay? Christopher Reeve. Wow. Bum ba bum. Who was not enamored with Christopher?
Christopher Reeve.
Maybe you said about the YouTube. Okay, different generation. Generation gap over here. In my day, Superman 1, Superman 2, Superman 3, Superman 4. Okay. Okay, Superman. Right, that was the one that committed suicide. But this one, Superman. And what happened to him? So I mean, hundreds of millions of people were enamored with, he was unbelievable. Okay, the whole thing, Superman, you know? I told you once, there was a guy in some movie, I don't know what it was, he was like a mamish, like a Superman. And he said, I read this, he was on a plane, and the passenger in his vicinity became aware, wow, you're on the plane? Like this big famous actor who in some big movie was like, you know, like Superman? Baruch Hashem, you're on the plane. Now I feel safe. I feel safe now, knowing that you're on the plane. Oh, Baruch Hashem. it says a lot, no? Doesn't it say a lot about the mind, the weakness of the human mind? You believe something?
But that doesn't even work. The whole plane loaded with all the Rosh Hashivas got hijacked. How can my plane get hijacked? That's why you don't fly with
Rosh Hashivas. The Litzanis here is unbelievable. All right, but any event... Okay. But any event... Haloy Davar. How do you explain what happened? How many... He be a paraplegic when he's matzav. You know, he became a very good person from that. You know, from that, what he, you know, the awareness of his situation, he raised incredible amounts of money, and you know, he showed the world. He definitely, there's what to be said. He's a guy. You know, he had a very strange private life, but there's what to be said about what he did, how he conducted himself. After, some people will tell you he was Taka Superman. Okay. I don't know. Haloy Dover. It's very disturbing when you know, these type of things. They're very, over here, Chazal have what to say about it as well. People who make believe who they're not meant to be. Another game. Woohoo! Make a mishaberch. Attention! You want attention? Amar hechacham kevan sheomer choylehu v'tzarch levarchoy. Can you? Fine, make the Mishaberach. If he says, we believe you, we're not going to challenge you. If you say you're a Chayla and you need a Mishaberach, we're not going to go think, oh, he wants attention. You said this, if you don't need to come on to people, and you bring upon yourself a klala, you take that, you're not entitled to take entitlements. The government, you know, during COVID, the government gave out money like water. People did crazy things. The government was literally giving away like a fire hydrant for all different things, people in different businesses. And people were taking, yeshivas were taking. And other people were looking at them and saying, you better watch out what you're doing. You better watch out. You just because there's free money, you know, you got to be very careful when it comes to things like this. Right. I'll leave you that story. This story, I love this story. I told this to you probably a few times with a barrel wine. Some one of his students wrote a book called Vintage Wine with a W. And the story is, I love this story. There's so much mussar in this story. It's just mind-boggling. A barrel wine was on a plane. He was going to a spring engagement across country. He gets on the plane. And whoever arranged the tickets, he supposedly arranged kosher meals. He sits down, the stewardess comes over and he's with the food. Oh, I have a kosher meal. There should be a kosher meal available. So she looks on the list. She comes back and she says, Mr. Wine or Rabbi Wine, I'm sorry. We cannot find your kosher meal. It's just not here. However, there's another kosher meal here labeled Mr. Cohn. They made up a name, Mr. Cohn. There's no Mr. Cohn on the plane as far as we know. Here it's glatt kosher, the whole thing. So you know what? Take this meal. It's not your name on it, but it's take the meal of Mr. Cohn. Fine, he had his meal. He landed, he spoke, he gets on the plane to go back. So he said to himself, the same way there was no Rabbi Wine kosher food on the way. So Mustamba, there's no Rabbi Wine kosher food on the way back. So the stewardess came and says, you know, I ordered a kosher meal. What's your name? My name is Mr. Cohn. Okay, because he figured, you know, it's the same. Okay, so she comes back a few minutes and says, Mr. Cohn, I'm sorry. We've checked everywhere. There's no kosher meal for Mr. Cohn. But you know, there's a meal for a Rabbi Wine. So you know what? Why don't you take his food?
Who told you this story?
I read the story in the book. In the Hakdama. He wrote this.
Right.
The whole book was written by someone else. He's the only one he wrote. Well, let me say, so what did he say? What's the Musa Haskell? The Musa Haskell is, Rabbi Yisai, he wrote this. He wrote this himself.
I assume he wrote himself. But you go on a plane, they know C-27C ordered a kosher. No.
This is what it says in the book. I didn't make up the story. This. Let me finish off the story. Dr. Dov, what's the Musa Haskell? Rabbi Sai.
16-year-olds.
Rabbi Sai. What is the Musa Haskell? Dr. Dove, please. Dr. Dove. What's the Musa Haskell? Mishenichnas Adar. What is the Musa Haskell? This is what he writes. It blew my mind. Don't travel, Rashi. My agent Shmita. Okay, please, for a few moments, what is the Musa Haskell? The Musa Haskell is your whole life. You're making believe you're someone who you're not. You're running your whole life to make believe you're Mr. Cohn. You're running your whole life. I want to be Mr. Cohn. And then when the day comes and they say, now it's time for Rabbi Wein to stand up, when they call your name, and when your time has come, you're not even there anymore. I'm now Mr. Cohn. You lost out. Your whole life you're trying to be who you're not supposed to be, and then when the moment that comes, when they need you to be who you're supposed to be, they call your name? Where are you? Oh, I was so busy making believe I'm someone else. I'm not even here anymore. I'm now Mr. Cohn. That's the Musa Haskell of life. Be who you're supposed to be. If they don't call your name, no. Be patient. Eventually the day will come when they'll call your name and you'll be able to say, Hineni. But if you're going to try to be someone who you're not, when they call your name, chaval. That's a good story, no? It's a good story. Okay, now let's right away segue into part 2. Part 2, this week's parasha. Okay, I don't have a question there. I'll just tell you. Let's start with a few different topics. I want to start with the topic of names. Ru'u, names. It's all in a name. Ru'u korosi v'shem, Bitzalel ben Uri ben Chur l'matei, Re'i koro Hashem v'shem. It's a very unusual pasuk. Maybe I should get a chumash. Second. Right outside the Lord's
Put it safer
on the table over there. Well, there it is. All right.
And I know why they
have.
And they
want that
child, right? They gave it to a child instead.
Okay, Rabbi Sai.